The inference there has to be saved because he's overcome the wicked one. And we're going to see later in 1 John that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. They had to know him. And so he says, listen, young men. Hello, young men. I acknowledge you've overcome the wicked one. You're strong. You are strong. This was the part of your maturity. You were strong. And you know what the blessing is? There's no age limit in spiritual strength. You know, as I went and I tripped on that rock, that was physical. My doing. Did you know, in a spiritual realm, the only way I'm going to trip on that rock is I just purposely know what God wants and I disobey his command. Because I don't have to trip on that rock. Now, physically, I had to. Of course, it jumped out in front of me. But folks, notice that he's talking about that wicked one. He's talking about the devil. And that young men had stood firm in the face of temptation because it was a God-given spiritual strength. You see, believers achieve victory over the devil only through their faith. And so when it says that he's overcome, because the devil's trying to lure them away from the Lord's work into the world's work. And so we see the reality should be part of the life of every believer at any stage of spiritual development. For the Christian life is characterized by a constant battle against evil. You see, the Christian can take heart in the midst of the battle because the victory is assured through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection. And so that battle, you have to know that the devil is opposed to God. He doesn't want you to have victory. You know, we're going to look at it just briefly, but he doesn't want you, that sin that so easily besets you, he doesn't want you to have victory over that. He wants you to trip up on that. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to think you are pretty good. He wants you to think that you're all right and you're pretty good because you don't murder anybody. Because you haven't robbed a bank and stolen millions of dollars. And I'm standing here this week as I've looked at my own self again, looking and thinking, I don't want to be that way that I think I'm pretty good, because I'm not. Anything that is ever accomplished has to be through the grace of God. When you start thinking it's you, that's exactly what will happen. Take heed lest ye what? Fall. But God gives us his word that we can grow and be strong in him as young men. And so notice he writes in the last of our 13, then he goes and he says, I write on you little children because you've known the Father. Again, he's saying, you've known only with the little children, you've known the Father. You're saved. But this word, little children, here is a different word used. It's the word that we get our word pedagogy from. This has more or less the idea of a young child's instruction. Literally, it could be little child under instruction. The first word of children is a different word up we see in verse 12, and that's talking about birth, relationship, kinship. Part of. In other words, we're seeing an affectionate versus the authority, instruction, the affection of God to authority. And so if we do anything, we can say then, there's one way that we could say, the first one is saying, talking to everyone, then he goes down and says, okay, children, those that are being instructed, those that are in the church that are being instructed, that level. But then why doesn't he use children again if he did it again? He stops with young men on verse 14. But the stress that he's trying to get across is this is what the church is all about, growing the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whether we take this as referring only to those who are young in the faith or to all believers, the meaning is the same. For all who have believed in Christ have known this experience. What is that experience? They have had their sins forgiven and they know the Father. The newborn child of God knows that his sins are now forgiven through the work of Jesus on the cross. In the same moment comes to know God, whom before he did not know and even feared. You know that he saved you. So in these references, John's really writing to the newborn in Christ to assure them, when he's talking about this dear children, assure them that he's writing not because they're not saved, but because they are, and because he wants them to progress in their Christian life. Let me ask you this morning, do you want to progress in your Christian life? Do you want to grow? Well, you'll only do that by what? The grace of God. And who are the recipients of that grace? The humble. He giveth grace to the humble. And so we notice he has that affirmation in verse 14. He goes on and says, now I write unto you, fathers, because ye've known him that from the beginning. He repeats it again. Do you think he's trying to get something across? Don't lose it. Keep on. And then he adds a little more, though, with the young men. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. And number two, the word of God abideth in you, and ye've overcome the world. So the only way you can overcome the world by what? The overcome the evil one and the wicked one is by what? God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You don't stay in God's word, you will live a defeated life. You will not be one of these young men that are strong and little children that know, or if you're going to take it that way, or the fathers that have had many years of experience. Where are you? You see, he says, young men, you've overcome because you're strong. By who? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13. And he says to them that it's your time in the Word of God. You need to be a Bible man, a Bible woman, a Bible teenager, a Bible child. Unless you have the Word of God ringing in your heart as that sword. I couldn't help to think the words to Brenda's song this morning. I don't know if I've ever heard it before. I probably haven't, don't remember. But the words, as I read those words, and one of them, as I saw, put the sword behind it. He's given us the sword, the word of God. You and I must be men and women of the book. He says, I wrote unto you. This is what you ought to be doing. You want to have that reputation? Forget what people think. Just do what God says and do what God thinks. And then your thinker will be put on right about the worldview. And he simply says, because you're strong and the word of God abideth in you. That's talking about a believer. There has to be a desire for the word of God. The Holy Spirit that teaches you, he says they are strong. He wishes to assure them that of which they've already attained the fact that under God they are able to meet Satan's attack, but only under God. Again, it's all in the perfect tense. Here's what happened. Here's the wonderful result. He explains that young men are strong. How can a young man cleanse his way but taking heed to the what? Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 19. There's victory in that overcoming. The result will be in that victory. Victory because of the word of God. And so the stage of growth, you have the basic relationship that grows when you emphasize the biblical revelation. And you'll have a biblical worldview as you mature in the very truth of God. You see, John's really given here positive words of built of confidence and assurance as he calls attention to all the readers. And he calls attention to this. You know that your sins have been forgiven. You know that God the Father and God the Son, and you have overcome Satan through the Word of God. Do you realize that, believer, that's what you've done through Christ that strengtheneth you? You only mess up when you take your mind off God's Word and who He is. And then you become more important. I was talking with a man the last couple days when we were in Virginia, and we were talking about humility and pride again. And he had said something in his bypassing, and I brought it back later on when we were talking and said, you know, that's one of the definitions that we give and that I look at in my own life. Pride is just ungodding God. Humility is letting God be God. Right now, I know of someone that's dealing with something and trying to help a person or two. And the biggest thing that party counseling or whatever need to do is let God be God. You see, when God really shines and the Spirit of God really convicts us, something's going to happen. The Spirit of God will show you. And He's simply saying here, very, very simply to us, I'm writing unto you. Here's your different category. This is what's happened. This is what we're made of. This is what the Christian life is all about. He's really being positive. The Christian life is about growing, being strong, defeating the devil. Isn't that neat? That God can defeat the devil in your life, but you can't? But His Word does? You can know for sure you're saved. Isn't that neat? I write in you, Father. Did you know you can be mature? You can grow. You can have many years of experience of living for the God, for the Lord. You can. Because you're dead to sin. We're going to fight sin until we get to glory. But victory is in Jesus Christ. And so we realize that Jesus desired the believers would know God not in a superficial way, nor in an academic sense only, but with supernatural intimacy made possible only by a lifetime obedience to Him and His Word. 1 Thessalonians 4:10 says, and indeed, you do it towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. And you know what verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians says? It talks about loving one another. He wants us to grow and increase spiritually more and more. As we realize that spiritual children must move beyond their initial delight in the Father's love, sound knowledge of biblical truth. By the way, think of this. Little children, if you take it that way, think of what little children do. Do children know who their mommy and daddy are? Usually a little special, don't they? But do they know very much about their mom and dad? No, they know that they're different than others. They know that that's my mom as they get to before that, they know that there's something special there. They're more special than the next. And then they start calling it mommy and daddy, but they don't know you. My kids, they didn't know until they continued to grow. And then they started knowing. That's what he's saying. You've known the Father, but now as you grow. So the admonition I'd like to give you as we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, quickly, let me just give you a litmus test for spiritual growth in your life. How can you determine if you're growing in your spiritual life? Number one, there's 55 of these, so hang on. Just nowadays, you know, we have all these remote things. We can do it from our phone. So just put your oven on hold, okay? Number one, is my motivation for reading the Bible changing more into one of desire than responsibility? I want to stop for a second. I want you all to just listen to these. If you want to put them down, but I want you to listen. I want you to open your heart. I believe the application here as we give these is what needs to be accomplished through the Word. Is my motivation for reading the Bible changing more into one of desire than responsibility? Psalm 63, my heart's panting for. Is it a responsibility or a desire to be in His Word? So where are you? Well, sometimes it's I desire. Sometimes I just know I have to do it. Well, turn that have to do it into desire. Number two, am I more jealously guarding my time with the Lord? Are you guarding, let me back up, do you have a time with the Lord? Are you jealously guarding it? Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time. In other words, another interpretation of that would be seizing the opportunity for Christ. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. Am I more jealous of guarding my time? Are you guarding your time? Is that important to you? Is that an important time of the day where that is just, I'm guarding it. I'm sorry, can't do that. I'm doing this. And if something emergency or something comes up, or noon, you know that you switch it to another part and then guard that part because it's got to be done. Number three, am I experiencing greater victory over my besetting sins? Where Hebrews chapter 12 says we need to lay aside the sins that so easily beset us. Am I experiencing victory on it? And don't sit there too pious. Every one of you sitting there, I know, have them, because the one standing here has them as much, if not more than you. So am I getting victory over those things that tempt me? Am I yielding less and less? Am I getting victory over those? He says, lay aside those sins that so easily beset you. Make not provision for the flesh. Is my life displaying greater evidence of the fruit of the Spirit? Okay, is your life a greater evidence of fruit of the Spirit? Well, he tells us to walk in the Spirit so you won't what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then verses down there, he gives a list of them. So you can ask yourself a question. I know Les Ola has challenged me many times through the past years to, when you're counseling yourself, when you're struggling, go to the fruit of the Spirit and say, okay, am I displaying evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in my life in love? Am I loving the way God wants me to love? Do I have the joy of the Lord and my joy the way God? Do I have peace that passes on? Am I long-suffering towards people? Boy, that's one that, I don't know about you, but that has a tendency to spear me right in the heart. I'll say something, and inside I might, they're inferring this. They could not be inferring that at all, but I take it that way or something, and I need to work on that. Long suffering towards people. Am I showing gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance? So are those more, are those evidences, those nine graces, are they more evident in your life than they were last year, 2 weeks ago, yesterday? Do I have a greater realization of my own sinfulness? What does, in 1 Timothy 1:15, what does Paul say? He came to save sinners. Paul says, God came to save sinners. And then what does Paul say? Of whom I am chief. One of the greatest men in the we've ever known of men of God. And he says, I'm chief. That was his attitude, genuinely. He didn't say that to impress people. He said it because he believed he was. So, do you have a greater realization of your sinfulness? I've always said, the closer you get to God, the more you will see your sinfulness. Because the closer you get to God, the closer you're going to see that light. That light's going to shine on your life and say, oh, this has got to change. God, help me with this. This has got to go. Is my thinking becoming more like Christ? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Not conforming ourselves, but by the transforming and the renewing of our mind. Is your thinking becoming more like Christ? Are you starting to look at things the way God looks at? Right? Christ looks at something. Am I applying the Bible to more areas of my life? Do I observe to do? Am I not just a hearer, but am I a doer also, it says in James. Am I learning more how to be thankful for everything that the Lord brings into my life? In all things give thanks, 1 Corinthians 5:18. And do you know why we give all things a thanks? Because did you know the root of thankfulness is the word grace in the original language. And you know what the root of that grace is? You could say it's joy. How about the things that just aren't happening? Or things that you struggle with, or health issues, or whatever. Are you more thankful now? Are you looking at things, realizing, and this is why you can say, I can thank God in all things, because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So I can thank God, he's in control. And he wants this to be allowed in my life for some reason. So I need to find out. And if I'm responding not like Christ, I need to stop it. Perhaps it's worry. You know what one of the characteristics, the manifestations of worry is many times? You try to what? Fix it yourself. That's a good indication that you're a worrywart. Or you're worrying, when you're trying to fix it yourself. And so, am I learning to be thankful about everything that God brings into my life? Did you know everything that's going to happen today, God's allowing it in your life? This week, so right there, the church, we bought a new printer. And I was going to wait to get back to order it, but if I ordered it, and if let it come in 1 to 7 days, you had to pay shipping. But if I ordered it right away, you didn't have to pay any shipping. Well, that saved the church $60. So I ordered it, but I'm away. So FedEx comes and is to bring it. And Bill had just took so much stress because they kept coming knocking on the door. And I was going to tell them right when it came, and they wouldn't let me know or through. I gave them the church phone number instead of my phone number, because then they could have texted me. Long story short, he said, Pastor, I gave him the order number and everything like that, and he says, just give me the order number, the tracking number. I'll call FedEx. I'll take care of it. I'm not saying that to uplift him. I'm saying that to encourage him. But I'm saying you'd use this. There's something that came into my life that, as far as not a big thing, but as a responsibility of being a leader and something that the church is spending for, I want to make sure that things are done right. And I was just, man, what am I going to do? Here I am in Richmond, and we actually went into someone's house at that time, and I'm there. I said, would you excuse me, please? I got to do something. So I went in there and started texting, and then I just got a hold of Bill, and got different things, and oh, I thank God for that. And I told him that, but I thank God for that. And I believe we actually have our printer now. Thanks for that up and thumb there, Bill. But you know, are you that way more? Things, that wasn't a big one. That's just a personal illustration. But what is in your, are you there? Am I developing a greater awareness of God's presence in my life? The Bible says, fear thou not, for I am what? With thee. He also says that he's promised never to leave us or forsake us as his believers. I wrote unto you, so he's talking about believers here. Am I developing a greater awareness of God's presence in my life? Fear not, fear thou not, Psalm 23 says, for I am what? With thee. And then lastly, see, it wasn't 55. Am I developing a greater dedication to God's will for my life? Am I laboring, whether absent or present, with people to be accepted of him? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? Mercies of a God, that I present myself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him, which is my spiritual worship. And what he says is, I beseech you, I beg you, am I developing a greater dedication to the will of God? I beseech you, and this is what I'm beseeching you, by my mercies, all that you experience in the mercies of God. Are you experiencing that in your life? In the will of God, are you dedicated to do the will of God in your life? So, the spiritual status among the saints, where are you? Are you growing? Are you desiring? How are these things doing? Well, let them be real in your life. And God will give you, you'll have a wonderful victory in your life and encouragement. Lord Jesus, thank you for your truth.